This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
I am so pleased to have you here with us at Cradle My Heart Radio because week in and week out, you help us fulfill our mission of preventing abortion and helping those that it hurts. And this ministry and this program is an outgrowth of my many years in radio. I spent most of my career in general market radio and then hosting Christian talk shows. And when I used to have a talk show that was live and dedicated to all sorts of Christian topics, from time to time, I would ask the listeners, what would you do if you knew of someone who was in a desperate circumstance of an unplanned pregnancy? Maybe there was domestic abuse. Maybe there was, you know, real and crushing poverty. Maybe there was some circumstance that made it seem as though abortion was the right answer. What would you do? And it always amazed me that so few of the listeners knew about the pregnancy help movement. So few of the listeners knew the phone number to a local pregnancy center to be able to share with someone who is in tough circumstances. And so that's what we're going to talk about this time out, the pregnancy help movement. And I am so pleased to have with us to do that Angela Bennett. And she has been deeply involved in the real world of broken lives and dreams, providing hope. And her life itself provides a great testimony of hope in the midst of difficult circumstances. But Angela became drawn to pregnancy help work after an outstanding career as an accountant in the open marketplace, as you'd say. And so she has a heart for women facing difficult circumstances. And she's now executive director of the SCV Pregnancy Center in Santa Clarita Valley in California. Angela Bennett, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. Good morning. I've been with this particular ministry for 17 years.
And, I bet you have seen a lot through the years.
Yes, absolutely. And some things I never really expected either, but it's quite a different perspective on the inside of this ministry than I had from before I came here.
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk about, because there are people, there are Christians who know that the pregnancy help movement is out there helping to make the pro-life message possible. But there are some misconceptions out there, I think, in the general public. And so let's just talk about what really goes on. Let's start with Angela. Who is your average client in terms of their age, demographic information? I think there is maybe a stereotype that it's teenagers in trouble. Who are you seeing seeking help with unplanned pregnancies?
You're right. There is a stereotype of the typical client, but it's not just the teenager or the teenager in trouble. We typically see young women from 15 to 24 years of age. They come from all socioeconomic groups. They come from within the church and from outside of the church, and there's no particular denomination that's necessarily more than another. So we're seeing young women from intact families, from families that have divorced, some who have never been married, and so there's really no specific type of client that we see. We see a broad range. We also see women who are in their 30s for various reasons. Some will be married, some are not married. So we see the professional woman, the unemployed, the homeless, the student. So, you know, as you can tell, it's quite a broad spectrum of women that we serve.
And that is so fascinating to me, that the need is universal. And it's not just a ministry for the poor. I mean, although I know that if somebody cannot afford services, the pregnancy help movement generally will try to come alongside with whatever is necessary. And let's talk about that just a little bit, too, because with all of the controversy in the news about government funding going to Planned Parenthood, the pregnancy help movement, on the other hand, exists out of donations, exists out of the generosity of donors and supporters. So talk about the availability of services to such a wide range of people.
Well, the pregnancy center is, as you said, they're supported by the generosity of donors in their local communities. So every community wraps its arms, so to speak, around the local center, whether they're providing medical services. Some of our centers, and a good majority of them, have really made a move into medical services, providing not just the pregnancy test, but also ultrasounds to confirm that there's a pregnancy in the uterus doing what a pregnancy ought to be doing. So many can end in miscarriage. So first you want to confirm that you actually have a pregnancy progressing before you make any decisions regarding that. Then some are doing STD testing as well. Many of the communities have within their own centers a material needs and educational component to their services. So those who choose to carry maybe will be young. Maybe it's their first time pregnancy. Maybe they just need support and help and encouragement along the way. They can join up with groups of others in like circumstances and learn more about what's going on in their pregnancy and fetal development, how to parent, what do I need to take home this baby for the first time, and you know, what does that really look like? They can get financial and budgeting coaching and assistance. Many centers provide car seats, maternity clothes, cribs, baby infant clothing, some up to 2 years old, some beyond the size of a 2 year old, in clothing. So there's a wide range of services, just to come alongside of families. And it's not just the woman, but also the men that are involved in their life may never have had a good role model, as a father. And so he can also participate and get coaching and mentoring and education on what a good father is and how to be available and how to form a family together and to parent together with the mother. So it's really a wraparound program that pregnancy centers can provide way beyond just the initial pregnancy testing and general information that they can get at that point in time.
And, of course, it is faith-based. I know that as the movement has been maturing, there are some centers, especially as centers acquire ultrasound and medical staff, that are not necessarily leading with the gospel, but that are, allowing that to become part of the conversation as it unfolds naturally in terms of getting to know the client. Talk about that just a little bit, because one of the big misconceptions out there is that, well, this is just a front for people who are just proselytizing and trying to recruit people into the church. Mm-hmm. There's a huge movement against the pregnancy centers with that charge that, you know, you think you're going in for health care services, but instead you're going to be, harangued about spirituality. Talk about the role of faith in this being a faith-based organization.
Well, Kim, good decisions get made in a holistic context. So when we make big decisions in our lives, we look at them from a financial perspective. Sometimes there's emotions involved. How do we feel about these things? Sometimes our faith perspective is involved in how we view certain outcomes or paths towards our objectives. And so when you look at the psychosocial, the medical, and the spiritual side of life, no matter who you are or what your faith perspective is, there is a holistic approach to decision making. So Well, the same thing is true for those who come to pregnancy centers and facing a decision that they hadn't intended to be making, and that's regarding an unplanned pregnancy. So when we provide that pregnancy test and the ultrasound, we're giving them the scientific, the medical component to good decision making. But in that process, we need to help them, or we desire to help them, get a great foundation laid for a good decision for themselves. So what we help them with is determining what their own standards and values are. And the way that we go about that is we ask them, if in the process of their intake, besides their medical history, we'll ask them, if they have a particular background in any religion. Do they have personal support? What are their positions on abortion, on adoption? Do they come with a perspective already? And so as they lay out their own values and standards, we often find that about 60 to 70% of our patients, and this is national, not just ours, come with a faith perspective, and it is usually a Christian perspective. 60 to 70% of those we see come with a Protestant or Catholic Christian background. And in fact, even the Guttmacher Institute, who is the research arm for Planned Parenthood, would say the same thing, that abortion consumers have come with with 60 to 70% of them come with the same faith perspective, a Christian perspective. So they lay that out. We look for knowledge deficits. We look for support deficits, and we try to give them what they don't have. So if they just need a hug, if they need someone who listens to them as they're thinking out loud through their decision-making process, we're there. If they need information to fill gaps on what some of the benefits or risks of each decision category is, we're there to provide that for them, as well as give them a concrete medical diagnosis. So as you can see, we're beginning to wrap around a good decision-making process and helping our clients think through. Most of the young women who come to us have never really been taught how to make a good decision. And, when I was a child, we learned to lay out the pros and cons. These are all the benefits. These are all the risks. These are the potential outcomes. And you try to make a decision based on the outcomes that are preferable and that align with what you believe to be valuable. And so many have not been taught to do that. So we lay these things out asking for their input. And it's very interesting what happens, Kim. We find that even more than the 60 to 70% who come with a Christian background are searching for spiritual answers in the midst of their decision-making. They're asking questions about life, about values, about standards in their own life, and they're trying desperately to make a good decision that in the future they're going to feel comfortable with. So we know that as we help them lay these things out on paper and look at them, they begin to see for themselves something come, they see standards and values come together that they hadn't really thought of. They know what they think, they know what they believe, but they haven't mm-hmm. seen it all come together in a decision-making format to align with a pregnancy decision. And when they do that, they often will ask us spiritual-based questions, and we stand ready to provide input into those moments. So if they're asking what the Bible says, if they're asking, what would God think, if they're saying, I have a belief in God and I believe that he's in creator of life, or that he has a plan and a purpose, but I'm not sure how it applies to this decision, then, they've opened that door. And that happens so often, where they open that door of conversation as we just ask them to lay out their own values, their own standards, so that they can see they can see where they would normally had indecision making, and then in this crisis decision, how they might apply that to this current decision that they're finding so difficult because it was so unplanned and caught them so by surprise, and they feel so alone and isolated and somewhat helpless because they don't know that they have the tools to really work through first a decision-making process that aligns with their standards and values, nor do they know that they have the tools to take those steps beyond that. And it's amazing when they discover that in the context of their own standards and values and in their questioning about spiritual things. And when that all comes together, you can see the peace that comes over them.
Well, and also with the prospect of support if you make a decision for life, you know, because sometimes it seems impossible, like I know what I need to do, but I don't have any means of accomplishing it. We're talking with Angela Bennett, CEO of SCV Pregnancy Center in Santa Clarita Valley in California. And Angela is very experienced in pro-life ministry and particularly in the pregnancy help movement and has served as a consultant to other centers as well. And when you talk about this process, I'm so struck by how instinctively we know that we need to engage our faith on this decision. We know that there's going to be some sort of spiritual consequence. I mean, we may push that down, we may try to deny it, but I love the way that you've described that process, because in helping people to understand, and that was my primary problem after abortion, was I felt so alienated from God, and I needed to be made right spiritually. And so to be able to intervene and help people make those considerations before a fatal mistake, I think, is the beauty at the center of pregnancy help work. What do you wish, Angela, that the average churchgoer knew about pregnancy help ministry? I think there still is really a need for awareness, number one. But if you had, you know, 5 minutes in front of the average church, what would you say?
You know, I was one of those people who sat in the pew on Sundays and listened to sermons and read my Bible and did Bible studies. And I was absolutely amazed and somewhat shocked when I honestly stumbled into the pro-life movement by way of a friend. What I didn't know sitting in the pews was I couldn't answer the question, when does life begin? I couldn't answer that question. I didn't know how to respond to the question, how we should treat the unborn, because I never thought about what the unborn was, even though I had had children of my own. And I never had come to a conclusion that included a spiritual answer as to our responsibility in an unplanned pregnancy and to those in our own congregation. And over in a very short amount of time being involved, I quickly learned what abortion was. And at the moment that I understood the procedures and the process of what abortion is and what it does, I simultaneously understood what the unborn was from the moment of conception, that the unborn is a distinct, separate, whole, living human being. And it even was much later before I could put words to it, but that I understood it at the moment. And so for the majority of those who are sitting in the church and sincerely love their Lord and submit their life to their faith in the Lord, they have not stopped to consider the answer to these questions. And if I could, what I would share with them is what the unborn is, and that if we're valuable today as adult human beings, we were valuable as children, we were valuable as newborns, and we were valuable as preborns, and just as valuable at every moment of that spectrum from the moment of conception to the moment that we're speaking with one another. And that abortion always takes the life of an unborn human being that is valuable, and that it's never appropriate to take the life of an innocent human being, and surely the unborn are innocent. Therefore, abortion's never, ever right, and that we all have a moral responsibility and a spiritual responsibility as well to uphold the sanctity and dignity of life. And as we uphold that dignity of life, we're coming alongside of men and women who are, we're all broken in some way, but who are broken. And in the moment, they're facing a crisis because they don't have the tools and the experience to navigate the decision of an unplanned pregnancy. They lean into the cultural quick answer to make the problem go away through abortion, but we have a responsibility to one another to uphold the dignity of life, to give these men and women dignity as they're making decisions by helping them, by supporting them, by coming around them, and helping to relieve the moment of crisis with education, with material mm-hmm. support if necessary, with medical support if necessary, with spiritual support if necessary. And in so doing, giving and upholding that dignity of those individuals, they in turn can uphold the dignity and sanctity of life for their unborn. And so in a way, we're what I would want people to know is that life matters from the moment of conception, that it's just as valuable then as it is now between us as we're sitting here talking to one another, and that we have that moral responsibility to one another and before God.
Beautifully said. Angela Bennett, CEO of SCV Pregnancy Center in Santa Clarita Valley. And Angela, now we've just got about 3 minutes remaining, but I'm going to ask you to dream for a moment. It's been in the news that Planned Parenthood receives $500 million federally of federal money every year. And I know that the pregnancy help centers in our local communities generally are operating on a budget around $100,000, even in major metropolitan areas, an annual budget. Can you imagine if the pregnancy help movement, which numbers now well over 2,000 centers in the U.S. alone, and it is a worldwide movement, how it would look different, how this movement would look different with a cash infusion of $500 million?
Wow. The first thing that comes to mind is that we could provide so much more for those who have need, not just the immediate pregnancy test and ultrasound, but prenatal care, labor and delivery, well baby checkups, and that the organizations themselves would not be struggling from week to week financially to provide this good work to the community, but that they would be sustainable long term. So, you know, that we would be able to employ and to seek out and train volunteers to provide this work. We know that when women who feel that they have help, that they have hope for their future, that they can even receive healing from their past, are going to feel safe and secure. And we need to be on the front lines, not just as a small part of our community trying to be available for the large number of women who need help, but that we could offer something beyond the immediate help and come alongside of them with ongoing medical support and ongoing care, not just for them in the moment, but for their children after they're born. I think we desire as a movement to come alongside families and see families restored in our nation. The divorce rate is high. The risky behavior is high among young people, young adults, because we're seeing so much in the family deteriorate over the years, and what we would love to do is be able to have a solid base from which to provide the ongoing help and support beyond the first couple of years of material mm-hmm. and educational support to young families.
Angela Bennett, again, CEO of SCV Pregnancy Center in Santa Clarita Valley, California. Thank you so much for being our guest, and it's a joy to speak with you again, my classmate in our Applied Bioethics Certificate work. We will link to your organization at cradlemyheart.org if folks want to learn more. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Thank you for having me, Kim.
Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Now stay with us as we continue the live portion of our program as we take a look at the top news of the week on the life issue and welcome your phone calls, too. Phones are open now, 1-800-811-3003. Join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart. With Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for being with us this evening, and we are glad that you are. I'm Kim Cotola, your host of Cradle My Heart Radio, and the phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. And we'll leave it open as we start our half hour together here for anything that you would like to discuss. Maybe there was something in the news that you saw. Maybe you have a question. Maybe you want to share your story. Maybe you want to open up and just join in with something that's on your heart tonight. Please do. 1-800-811-3003. You know, I had an amazing bit of listener mail recently. And I'm going to share also a poem that was submitted to the program, a couple of poems. But this was an amazing card, and I didn't receive permission to share it on the air with you, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. There was no return address, but it was someone who's been listening to this program and wrote to say that it's given her a chance to process something that she feels was very sinful, that when her father became ill, she wished that he were dead. She said she never took action toward that, but she realized that her heart was really wrong toward her father, even though he had been an extremely difficult parent to grow up with. And to me, she also said she's never had an abortion, but she listens to the program, and if you're listening tonight, I really want to thank you for sending me that card, because it's an encouragement to me that what we're doing here in sharing the truth of the gospel, that there is nothing that exceeds the power of Christ's ability to redeem and change in our past. Nothing, no hidden thought, no secret action. There's nothing you and I can do to ever exceed his love and mercy and healing and grace. Nothing. And she got that, and it helped her. And so I was really, really pleased to receive that letter. So whatever is on your heart, if you're a regular listener, if you're a brand new listener, join us. 1-800-811-3003. Phones are open tonight here at Cradle My Heart Radio, and we're live on this All Saints Day, the 1st of November. It was celebrated at our church this morning, and that was a real blessing. Thinking about our loved ones and heaven, thinking of singing the songs that promise us reunions. hearing the children during the children's sermon say that their favorite place was heaven. You know, the pastor said, that's a good answer. All Saints Day was really a blessing to me. But both of my parents are deceased. And as you may know, I think I've shared it on this program, my brother died with multiple myeloma just about a year ago, less than a year ago. The grief is still so very fresh in his loss. But, wow, we do not grieve without hope. And this world is not our home. And when it comes to abortion, there is so much that we need to learn about grief. And as we learn about grief, there is so much comfort that we have after abortion. So tell me where your thoughts and where your heart and your spirit takes you tonight. 1-800-811-3003. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-811-3003. For some stories in the news, I hope that you're following our Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/cradlemyheart. We try to post some of the top news stories of the week and give you a chance to weigh in and leave your comments there, and hope that you will like the page so that you can stay updated, because every week we also post who our guest is going to be, and it's just a way for us to connect beyond the website at cradlemyheart.org. And one of the stories that we have posted tonight has to do with Amanda Marcotte, a supreme hypocrite who says that abortion does not cause any mental health issues for any women ever. An absurdity that she would have us believe that millions of women could have an experience in common and all have a uniform emotional reaction. All we need is common sense to tell us that's silly. Women go shopping and have different emotional reactions. Women sit down for coffee together and have emotional reactions that are across the board. But she was writing for The Guardian. She writes for RH Reality Check, and she's a strong pro-abortion advocate. And she gets printed in Salon and Slate magazine, and recently penned an article for The Guardian saying why anti-choice campaigners won't let science get in their way. And so she insists that those who are opposed to abortion are anti-choicers, or maybe the headline writer called us that. But anyway, she writes, if you visit any anti-choice website or facility, within moments of your arrival, you'll be hit with the assertion that abortion causes mental health problems for women who get them. The problem with this, besides the whiff of bullying, is there isn't any evidence for the claim. Repeated studies, which have been blessed by the American Psychological Association, have shown there's no causal link between abortion and mental illness. Well, Amanda's not a very thorough reporter on what the American Psychological Association actually found. They published findings on first trimester abortions. They didn't talk with women about second and third trimester abortions. They didn't include those findings. They didn't talk with women in extenuating circumstances. And so for her to say that the APA sent out a message saying there's no mental health consequence for women is dishonest reporting. But you heard me smile, because her word choice to say that the American Psychological Association blessed these studies is extremely ironic. You see, the problem after abortion is a spiritual problem, and it's extremely difficult to extricate our emotions from our spirit. And then, of course, if our emotions become damaged or out of control, now we have a mental health issue. But Amanda Marcotte says, no, that never happens. When millions of women go through a life-altering experience, like ending a pregnancy with an abortion. I mean, read the article that's posted on our Facebook page, because Teresa Bonapartis does a fabulous job of debunking, first of all, that report from the American Psychological Association, because she notes that they ignored tens of other studies by other professionals that prove otherwise. 1-800-811-3003. The reason why this is so important and why I bring it up for you tonight is because I think that this is a way to re-injure women who have been hurt by abortion, to simply say, your pain doesn't exist. 1-800-811-3003. If you can't get over your abortion spiritually, mentally, emotionally, there's something wrong with you, because you see, no one has these problems. To me, that is evil. And of all people, feminists, to be re-victimizing the victims of abortion by negating their emotional experience is really unforgivable. This is a safe place for whatever it is that you've experienced. You can share your story, and believe me, I will understand. But what I want you to know, the hope that I want to give you, not only this hope that I mentioned that we affirm on All Saints Day, that this world is not our home and we will see our lost loved ones in heaven by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts that he died for our sins and rose again, we will see them. We will see him and we will see them. If they so believed as well, and if they were born before they were able to make a profession of faith, were not born before they were able to make a profession of faith. We have that promise through God's word. But the beauty of what I want to hold out for you tonight is that getting right spiritually heals your wounded emotions. This is how it happened for me. And I tell the story in my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, of looking and looking and looking for help for my mental health issues. Depression, confusion, broken relationships, you know, acting out sexually. This generation thinks that because they have Tinder or apps or other things that facilitate the hookup culture, that they made that up. No. Young women have been allowing themselves to be used to work out their emotional issues for a lot of years. It doesn't have to be that way. And I'm telling you that once the spiritual emotions and once the spiritual issues, by that I mean your relationship with God, once that gets worked out, your emotions will be healed. Someone made a wonderful distinction for me this week. And I think it came from the Christian book reviewer, Tim Challies, which is a great website, by the way, if you ever have a question about whether somebody's doctrine is sound from a Reformed point of view, challies.org, C-H-A-L-L-I-E-S. And it wasn't an article that I read on Tim's website, but someone was quoting him, saying that there is no such thing as feeling guilty. That's a wrong conception. That what happens actually is that either you are guilty or you aren't. Guilt describes a state of being, not an emotion. If you have transgressed God's law or harmed another person or done something wrong, you are guilty of it. Then you can feel shame for having done whatever it is that you're guilty of. And it's the good news of the gospel that the message of the gospel is sin forgiven. The pastor said that this morning and I thought, yes, it's so simple. Sin forgiven. That's Jesus' message, his purpose, his mission. Sin forgiven. He said at the end of Luke's gospel, go preach the repentance and remission of sins. And so there's a remedy for our shame. We don't need to feel that shame anymore either. But if you feel shame because you are guilty, that's good news as well. Again, now we're getting grounded in reality. We're not talking about someone's opinion, someone who stands to benefit from being pro-abortion. No, we're talking about the reality that we all know in our heart of hearts, that the youngest among us deserve our protection. And when we transgress to harm them through abortion, we are guilty of shedding innocent blood. But the shame that we feel is not God's plan for us forever. God's plan is for you to be forgiven. Now you stay with us. Join us. Phones are open at 800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. Coming up, we're going to share a couple of beautiful poems sent in by a listener here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks for being with us tonight. That's a toll-free call, so please do join us. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. One of the other stories in the news this week was Gloria Steinem, who is becoming vocal about a number of issues. She gave an interview to Katie Couric. She's been, she's now 81 years old, by the way, and so she has a book. So she's plugging the book, My Life on the Road, and she's dedicated this book to the doctor who helped her get an abortion in 1957. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of Calvin Freiberger, who writes for Live Action News, because, you know, as I read her comments, and again, we've got that linked at facebook.com/cradlemyheart. As I read Steinem's comments, the lead quote is, every child has a right to be born and wanted, to be born loved and wanted. This is Gloria Steinem speaking. Every child has a right to be born loved and wanted. And a woman who decides that this is not the moment when she can provide that for a child is making, to me, a profoundly moral decision. Now, here's the thing. You know, does she believe every child has a right to be born? Period? No, of course she doesn't. Of course she doesn't. But, you know, one of the reasons that she says, you know, this can't happen is because the wanted child formulation really means a child's worth is defined by whether their mother wants them. Sometimes their existence is even defined. It wasn't a child because I didn't want it to be. I've heard women make statements like that. But Steinem's version comes close to conceding that abortion is a contest of two competing sets of rights, okay? Not a matter of one person seeking to do away with a moral nothingness. And he's exactly right about that. Those are the words of Calvin Freiberger analyzing Gloria Steinem's statement. He's exactly right about that. And this is what, you know, I want to inspire women to rise above this street fighting notion that we're at odds with our children. You know, we can make a way when an untimely pregnancy occurs with love and support, and it's there all around us, as you heard from Angela Bennett in the first half of this program. And if you didn't hear from Angela, here's the phone number, 1-800-712-HELP. You can call 24/7. You're not alone in an untimely pregnancy. You are loved and valued, and so is your child. And the idea that we have to, you know, somehow exercise our rights against the right of somebody to be born loved and wanted, no. And it's true, though, that women ought to love and want our children. That much is very true. The other thing that he points out, though, is that in the dedication to the book, she writes to the doctor who referred her for an illegal abortion in London in 1957. And, you know, she by doing so tells us that it's a lie, that if abortion is illegal, the only thing available will be seedy back alley procedures. She knows it's not true from her own experience. Former Planned Parenthood Director Mary Calderon admitted in the 1960 edition of the American Journal of Public Health, 90% of illegal pre-Roe versus Wade abortions in the U.S. were performed by licensed physicians in good standing, not by back alley doctors, quote unquote, wielding coat hangers. So you can, again, access that story if you want to learn a little bit more about it, weigh in on our Facebook page. Please do like the page, then you can comment. All right, I promised you a poem or two, and I really want to thank one of our listeners who sent this in, and she says they're the only two poems that she's ever written, and they just kind of happened, and so she wasn't sure what to do with them until she heard our program and thought maybe you can use them. I hope so. So please let me know if you do. You are welcome to. Thank you so much for your work and dedication and service to the Lord and others. Important, necessary, and life-saving. And she signed her note, sincerely, Marilyn Lewis. And the first poem is entitled, What If It Was Me? The baby in the womb, growing, a person so small, showing. New life, God's miracle, equals a problem. Not now, I don't want it. What if it was me? A new creation, wonderful, beautiful. Talents, gifts, and laughter plentiful, all waiting to come forth, but it can't be. I won't have it. What if it was me? They say it's my right and my choice, and there's no price to pay, so go ahead, delete it. Cut the cord. It's just as we say, but what if it had been me? The baby in the tomb. It was God's gift, precious, divine perfection, snuffed out. Vibrant living, though not breathing, a life worth loving, no doubt. What if it had been you? That's Marilyn Lewis's first poem, What If It Was Me. And if you want to call and tell Marilyn here, here, and encourage her to write more poetry, I was really touched by this poem, and I hope you are too. Call now and give her a shout out, 1-800-811-3003. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-811-3003. Our mailing address, by the way, is found on our website at cradlemyheart.org. Cradlemyheart.org is where you'll find our program notes and all of the information that you'll need about what's coming up on the weekly broadcast with our featured interview, and you'll find links to all the social media, so that's maybe the best place to start, and then you can just click on our link to Facebook at the bottom of the page. But you'll see a mailing address there, too, if you want to send us snail mail. You'll also find my email address, cradlemyheart.org. All right, here's another poem for us tonight from Marilyn Lewis, and this is titled Abortion, the Silent Slaughter. Not a cry is heard, nor a tear is seen. Not a sound is allowed to pierce the wall of selfish indifference. For not only is the battleground in the womb, but in the hearts and minds of people who have forgotten God, their Maker, and the laws and love thereof. What is left are the memories and remains of the innocents who should and could have been. Those conceived in excess, self-indulgence, and self-gain. Those tossed to the wayside as the unexpected, inconvenient, and unwanted spoils of lust. That's a poem by Marilyn Lewis, Abortion, the Silent Slaughter. The unexpected, inconvenient, and unwanted spoils of lust. I really appreciate you writing us, Marilyn, with those poems, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share them with you tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio. This isn't the end of the story, however. If your heart is broken over abortion, that isn't the end of the story. I want you to know just how far God will go to gather you back to Himself. And it's this: as far as he needs to go. I don't care where you've been, and I don't care what you've done, and I don't care if you weren't desperate or coerced or victimized. I don't care if you were willful and stubborn and even had an evil heart going into it. I don't care where you went emotionally and spiritually when you made that choice. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Please do get in touch with us if you've never had the opportunity to share the heartbreak of abortion with others. We can make referrals to you, and we can point you to resources that will begin the start of something new and something fresh and something good. Jesus loves you. Above all, he's asked me to tell you that tonight. Jesus loves you. He came to make you his own. He came so that you would belong. He came so that you would know that you don't have to be good to be loved. And when you're bad, you are still loved. You don't have to be perfect to be accepted. He already knows, and he loves you still. He knew before he went on that hill for us. Jesus loves you. And so do we. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us during the week at cradlemyheart.org.